The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Okay, off to a auspicious start as usual.
Yeah, well, the what would basically a sports show be without an assortment of errors and glitches and so forth? So,
oh, Mike just popped in. There he is.
What up, party peeps?
Well, we were just talking about our usual comedy of errors to get the show started, but we're here.
Zach's internet is like powered by a gerbil and a hamster wheel or something.
He's got to get something besides a battery operated modem that he bought at the Big Lots for $10.
Well, I'm sure it's the like bottom of the barrel internet package that like gets you like circa 2002 internet speed through dial up.
Ah.
But I don't know, Zach. It's not Zach's choice. I'm sure if he had his choice, he would have infinitely more things, better internet. But I've had a weird night, guys. I got home. I was running late at a late last second phone call at the office, which is bullshit. It's like working at a restaurant and somebody comes in like 3 minutes before closing time and you already cleaned the kitchen. It's like, come on, God damn it. So that kept me late. Then I get home and apparently there's these rambunctious kids with lightsaber toys, ding dong ditching. And something like that. So I don't know. I'm having a weird one here, and it's just getting started. This week is like the crazy bullshit has not yet come to pass.
Oh
like,
no, that you're going to look back at this as the good old days.
Yeah, the innocence of
the innocence. Yes, of just getting an annoying phone call and having kids with. I like the addition of the lightsabers. I think that's a good touch.
Well, it's certainly super weird. I don't. You know, we were watching the like audio or the video footage of. Of the weird little, they're like, I don't know, they were probably like 17 or 18.
Oh, wow. That's a little old to be doing that shit.
Yeah, it's a little odd. I don't quite know what's going on. But this is a fine time. Speaking of things the youth do that I am barely able to understand, you can go to our Discord.
Yes.
Discord now for you to join in.
I've been on Discord for like going on 4 years now, so seeing this pop up was quite a treat, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, I every podcast I listen to says on our Discord channel, I thought maybe we should do one of those. So yeah. I tweeted it out. Andy tweeted it out. It's on Facebook. It's on the – did we put it on the boards? I don't remember if we did or not.
Well, I distinctly remember that for the CCSLC, I proposed a Discord server and – Chris and all the other mods were like, what's a Discord? And then it's just been sitting there. But now people are actually filtering it into it. So join the basically a sports show Discord and join the CCSLC Discord if you want to talk about uniforms and shit. I don't know.
I got the idea for it listening to this podcast. And I'm almost ashamed to say I listen to. It's called Five Dirty Bikers. And it's like, say, okay, if you do a 20-minute segment – of Five Dirty Bikers. 10 minutes will be about things that I say, okay, I want to hear about this because I ride and they're talking about riding and places and this and that. The other 10 minutes is this redneck from Kansas making the most vulgar, unfunny jokes you've ever heard in your life. And I'm so torn on it. It's like, I want the information that they're giving, but I can't put up with this guy too much longer. So
said that you were, you know, ashamed to listen to, actually that doesn't like strike me as something you should be ashamed. Cause you know, yeah, you ride motorcycles. It's completely sensical that you'd watch something like that. When you said like, I'm ashamed to listen to this podcast, I was like, oh, holy shit. Is Greg going to come out and be like, I listen to like anime podcasts. You know, like I have a deep love for for the Japanese cartoons.
they'll be talking like the topic for the show I was listening to was most motorcycles per capita. You know, top 10 states or whatever. I thought, well, that's interesting. I'd like to see where Ohio falls in that, because there's a lot of people that ride in Ohio. And I think we were just outside the top 10. But in the midst of all this cool conversation, you know, South Dakota's got a lot of motorcycles because of Sturgis. California has a lot. Florida has a lot. And in the middle of all this, all of a sudden I'm hearing them talking about eating White Castle and shitting all over the people behind them on their bikes. And I thought, well, first off, that's a very impressive segue, because I don't know how you go from one to the other. But they did it. So you got to give them credit for that, but I thought, I don't want to hear this. So anyway, that's where I got the idea for the Discord server, to make it all the way back around to what I started with. Zach, are you okay this time around? Vintage Zach?
Uh-oh. Apparently not.
Okay.
He's just going to like send us like binary. Just like beep, beep.
Guys, I don't know what the fuck is going on today, but my computer is not responding well to the internet.
You want me to tell you what's going on? I can tell you.
I'll fight through.
I will tell you what's going on, Zach. I read this. I don't remember where. Might have been one of those crazy Twitter accounts I follow. Might have been one of those crazy Facebook accounts I follow, because God help me, I can't stop like going, I want to hear from everybody. It's the
– I'm good now.
The cabal, whatever you want to call it, behind all the stuff that's happening – now they're causing internet shortages and shutting down cell phone service and that sort of thing. So that's the problem. And apparently it's hitting you harder than it is us. There you go. You won't get news like that anywhere else, but right here on Basically a Sports Show.
Zach, do you live near a 5G tower?
Has the 5G given you the COVID?
Or the gay?
I think my 5G might have COVID, not that it's spreading it. Because it's just it's sickly right now.
Wasn't one of the things about 5G was that it made people gay too? Am I misremembering that? And I mean,
frogs gay.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was frogs. You're right.
That wasn't 5G yet. I mean, anytime there's new technology or some sort of like vaccine or something, you can always count on like an Alex Jonesian figure to like, you know, proselytize that it will indeed increase the gay gene or something. Like it'll. I think that's just been going back for how many dozens, if not hundreds of years. Where
you see, if you've read any of the best X-Men stories, Greg, you know that mutants, you know, the gay gene is just a mutant gene.
When you start a conversation with the best X-Men stories.
Oh, I love the X-Men. No question about it. But I'm kind of old school when I was a kid, X-Men. I didn't really follow it much past when they started having so many mutants I can't keep track anymore. But to go back to this for a second.
Find out about the Wolverine-Cyclops love triangle?
Oh, yeah. I kind of knew about that. I think I got that from the movie, though.
No, I meant like between him and Beast and, you know, the tryst.
No, I wasn't aware of that. But, hey, good for them. Whatever
not,
works.
Not a real thing. But
oh, that's too bad. But going back to the whole make people gay thing, the philosophy student in me says, okay, we'll allow for that probability, but who fucking cares? That's always my answer. It's like, what? You know,
the people that don't want the gays, Greg.
Well, I hate to break it to them, but they've been here all along. Not just since the 60s, not just since the 70s, not since Stonewall. They've been here from day one.
Yeah.
Don't fuck over yourselves.
Don't tell those people about George Washington's extra X chromosome. Don't do it.
I wouldn't dare.
Don't let them know about his.
They believe me anyway.
Features.
I'm just so. Anyway, so to get somewhere, I suppose. Yesterday, as you guys saw on the text thread, I ran the gamut of emotions yesterday with my Cleveland Browns.
That was, Greg, that was probably about as mean circa 2012 Blackhawks playoff thread as I've seen you. Like you ran the ring of emotions, and ultimately, as is tradition, you must bathe in failure and disappointment.
Ultimately, you learned anything is possible.
Oh, God. You know what? All of the fucking props to Andy Reid for being like, am I going to adjust my game plan for my backup quarterback? No.
You got to give him credit for that. Was gutsy as all hell to do that.
Like, when you go, oh, no, the Chiefs have to put Chad Henne in, and there's, like, what, 25 minutes left for the Browns to score 2 touchdowns? Sure. He could do it.
That's the problem. And to borrow a quote from a horrible movie, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. And that's what happened with me with those damn Browns yesterday. I was ready. I told you guys. I felt like I was getting excited to get my ass kicked. I can't wait for the beating I'm about to take, but it'll be fun. And the beating was basically going along according to plan. And then Mahomes gets chokeholded with a sleeper hold, and he's out. And all of a sudden, I think, oh, my God, there's hope. And part of me said, don't go there. You know better. You know what's going to happen here. But I did it anyway. And then I started thinking, can we beat Buffalo? I think we could.
No, see, that was your problem.
Oh, you poor bastard.
You're headed next week, Greg. Not a little in the fourth quarter.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh, I think I even texted you guys. I said, it's 87 all over again. I'm like, oh, something going, oh, my God, we can do this. And
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, going from Patrick Mahomes to Chad Henne is a massive drop-off. He threw a horrible Trubiskian end zone.
and
the Browns, you know – honestly, that timeout, the stupid timeout, pre-snap timeout, and the punt, yep. The cowardly punt, like that was it.
The challenge on the Tyreek
that punt, that punt was. I mean, look, well, I'm so. I don't want to say it because the Browns did have such a good run to get here, but they did not deserve to win that game when they decided to.
No, because it wasn't even that. It wasn't even the punt. I think. Because was that punt the last time they had the ball?
Yes.
Okay. So the play calling going up to that punt was also atrocious.
Yeah.
Like you're watching. I'm not, I know football, but I'm not a Sean McVay level genius, of course. But like.
But you are Sean McVay adjacent. So that
yes. So I can recognize when the other team is trying to blitz, and normally when the team has I don't know 9 guys on the line of scrimmage, they're probably gonna blitz you. Don't throw the fucking screen passes. Like,
no.
I can diagnose that blitz from what is it, 2,000, 3,000 miles away? It's like, adjust. Give what they're trying to let you throw over them. They're trying to let you move down the field. And they just couldn't, like, it was like they finally got to their moment and they didn't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
So a couple bad play calls and then the bad decision to punt. And that's the last time you get the football because Andy Reid has some cojones to call a
fourth. Oh, my God. He has to carry those
down things around. Shotgun play to Chad Henne.
He has to carry those things around in a fucking wheelbarrow, man.
Man, I'll stand slightly corrected about the punt. I felt the punt was a concession myself, but Michael Walker points out, you know, it was 4th and 9. They were on the wrong side of the field.
Yeah.
I get it.
But the damning thing, I mean, more than anything, you really got to look at is letting Chad Henne run for like 14.9 yards.
Yep.
And, I mean, yeah, it was brilliant that Andy Reid threw that like that goofy ass like what I guess it was some sort of a bait play that was designed to look like a bait to catch him in an offside or a neutral zone infraction, and threw this beautiful little out play that the Bears have tried to run for 2 years now and can't get more than a yard out of. And I mean, you know, they did it. They won the game. But giving up, having Chad Henne beat you with his legs.
Sure.
Ugh, that's just ridiculous.
Right. That was bad. And yes, 4th and 9, your side of the field, you punt. But there was 4 minutes left?
4:12 or something like that.
4:12, and you have one timeout.
Yeah,
that was my thing. If they had their full complement of timeouts, I'm fine with the punt because you've got sure. You can stop the clock.
Right.
But one timeout, I understand that it's Chad Henne.
You put faith in your defense, sure,
and all that. But and I thought that Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal brought up a great point today. But they still have all those other weapons, even without Mahomes. They've still got Tyreek Hill. They've still got Travis Kelce. Yeah, I just think that you've got to, at that point in the game, the way it's been going, you've got all the momentum in the world. Take your shot. If you lose, you lose. Okay, fine. But don't just kind of – with 3 timeouts, I'm fine with the punt.
Here's how it breaks down. the, you know, we talked about this, you know, last week, like the Browns were very much in, you know, just happy to be here territory. And when you're in just happy to be their territory, that's when you take chances. Like, yeah. You know, no matter what, people are going to say this season was a success. So 4th and 9, you need a score. Yeah, go for it. What do you got to lose? You're going to lose the game? People already expect you to lose the game.
I agree, Mike, completely. I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it with Chad Henne, but look, the guy's been in the league for 13 years. I don't know how, but he has been. You know, I read today somewhere that his most famous game is probably when he lost to Appalachian State back when he was playing at Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Michael Walker brings up a good point there, too. Nobody should have put faith in the Browns defense, because here's the other thing. Sure, you're right. You're exactly right what you said earlier, too, Greg, where it's not just Chad Henne. They have so much else, including that offensive line, which even when Mahomes was in there, it's not like Mahomes was doing Russell Wilson garbage and, like, you know, running around and getting away from the blitz or the pass rush. The Browns weren't pressuring them all day long.
No.
So what makes you think that a different quarterback is going to change your ability to break through that line?
The Browns have a very promising future, and they have a very good team.
Yes.
But they've got to shore up that defense because, boy.
Like I said yesterday,
the defense was like the thing that they hung their hat on like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
It's like I said yesterday, they need to draft 7 linebackers in the draft this year and then go out and trade for 3 or 4 more. Because it occurred to me as we were watching the game yesterday that I don't know a single linebacker on that team. And I thought, that's weird, right? I know who Myles Garrett is. I know who the front line guys are. I know Denzel Ward and the safeties. I have no idea who plays linebacker on that football team. And that's a bad thing. And if you notice, that was where they would get in trouble. They've got a good defensive line. They've got a halfway decent secondary. They have nothing in between. And you're always going to be able to shred that for 5, 6, 7 yards.
No, it's like when, just to kind of say what we've been saying, like when Chad Henne ices you.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
But I will say this too, though, that we all know if Mahomes doesn't go out of that game, it's probably never that close. And that's kind of what I tried to make myself feel better with.
But you can't forget the most controversial play of the weekend, though.
Right.
That Browns drive, it was sure to be a scoring drive, easily a touchdown drive. And you have a blatant helmet-to-helmet targeting no call that can't be reviewed. And it causes this weird fumble into the end zone that's a touchback, I guess, because it was fumbled. It went into the end zone and out of bounds.
I don't mind like people have been saying that, you know, that rule should be revised. I'm going to disagree. I think the touchback fumbling the end zone rule makes sense. It gives a sense of it gives a risk to diving for the end zone. Like you need to like there needs to be some sort of risk reward. Like if you fumble the ball into the end zone and it goes into the end zone and out, like, you should be punished as a team for that. So
I think people shouldn't be arguing that. I think that if they are arguing that, it's more because it's sour grapes and they're like, this is bullshit. I want to try. It's the targeting. It's the helmet.
Yeah, no, the helmet on helmet hit was flagrant, and like that should have been a call. That should have been a flag. Right, like no question.
Oh, he should have been ejected from the game.
And the ref had a like direct line of sight on it. It wasn't like a case where it's like he couldn't have, he couldn't have known what was happening.
Yeah,
the ref saw what was happening.
And with that part of the end zone, especially right by the pylon, like there is probably like 4 very good cameras to just over and over replay again. And
there was a camera in the pylon that showed it.
Right. You could literally see some brain tissue leave the guy's like nostril after that hit, and they don't review those.
That's reviewable in college, right, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how they determine it. If they have a play and a flag gets thrown for targeting, it immediately goes to review. And I've seen it go both ways. So sometimes it's an accident, sometimes it's clearly intentional. I will say this, Rashard Higgins got hit so hard he thought he was a professional golfer after the game. So,
well, beyond the targeting part of it, do we agree that that's a pretty rough penalty for fumbling in the end zone?
No, you know, I like it. I think that's a fine penalty for, like, that's what I was talking about actually, Zach, when you temporarily blipped out.
Mike, you and Greg, I think you guys would appreciate this rule revision. I want to submit to the league.
Okay.
If that happens, we have a jump ball, just like the NBA.
Oh, God.
I'm signing off on that right now.
Bring back the old XFL kickoff coin toss.
Yeah.
At the five-yard line, you have like your two tallest guys, and the ref throws the ball up, and whoever gets it, it's a live play immediately after that.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that
on the condition that we want to bring back the vets' ideas into play, and there's a wild gorilla on the field as a wild card.
Absolutely. I was just going to add, too, Andy, that we should make them carry those toy lightsabers you were talking about earlier. Like, they have to hold one of those and do it. Just for fun.
I feel like, you know, the NFL being as American as it is, like, I'm surprised there hasn't been some sort of, like, gunman that shoots field. if the game moves at too slow a pace, a sniper just blows parts of the field. You know, like it's like Roethlisberger's taking too long pre-snap, and a giant pile of turf explodes behind him, and it's like, it's like the gunman's getting kind of antsy. You better get that snap off.
Well, if the ratings drop at some point, I wouldn't rule it out because it's the NFL, and they'll do what they have to do to get people to watch. But yeah, I mean, I understand that it's a bad rule, and I get it. But I can't think of what you would do otherwise.
I heard on CBS in like the post game. I think it was the halftime or the post game. Anyway, they were saying that maybe you just put the ball like at the 20 instead.
I thought of that myself. I didn't hear. I thought maybe that's the penalty for it. Is that you get it?
We're gonna make it a 20-yard penalty, essentially. Yeah.
You get it down and like your first and goal, but you're at the 20-yard line.
So wait a minute. I don't know. Just to clarify the rules. Is the 25-yard line is the new touchback on a kickoff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Is it the 20-yard line for anything else? Like, does a touchback from that result in them getting the ball to 20?
I don't know.
I don't remember where they got that ball.
Because I feel like that's wildly inconsistent if you'd have a kickoff get 25 and everything else get 20.
I think the reason they use the 25 is because – is it like a safety thing to incentivize
kickoffs from not being returned, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I don't know, but I think it still comes up to the 20, doesn't it? I'm not sure. Either way, it's I get what Mike's saying. It's like I don't know what else you would do. I mean, you fumbled it into the end zone and it went out of the end zone.
Yeah.
My whole point is that there needs to be a risk associated with diving for the end zone, right? Like, and if you fumble it into the end zone, like, I'm not sure. And if you fumble it into the end zone, then it goes out of bounds. I'm not sure what any other logical solution would be.
Jump ball and a rifle.
Do you give the team that fumbled it the ball on the one and you just say, okay, try again? No, like, that doesn't seem like.
I mean, like, if you ask the Cleveland Twitter fans last night, you'd think
Kansas, by the way, Kansas City started on their own 20 after that fumble.
20,
so.
Okay. So they need to. You need to have like something to where, like, Cleveland. Like thought that, well, it's like we deserve this. We've been through so much hell and you guys fuck us now. We should get another shot. So if your franchise hasn't won a Super Bowl in over 20 years or something to that effect, they need to have a qualifier of despair to where it's like, well, you know, the Chiefs.
The Patriots, Chiefs, Packers, they would never get that call. But if you're the Bills, the Browns, the Lions, you get it all day long. Okay.
No, really, what should happen in the future is if, like, the Lions make the playoffs again, they actually get a bye to the championship game.
Well, no, I have an idea. I have a new concept. So we have the red challenge flag. We need to have some sort of, like, you know, purple or pink, like, pity flag. When a play blatantly goes against
them. Yeah, the coach just throws. He's like, "Come, I'm the coach of the Lions. Come on, guys. Like, be cool."
The flag of eternal despair is what it should be called. It's like you only get it if you haven't ever been to a Super Bowl, haven't been in 25 years, whatever.
Yeah.
You get to throw once a game the flag of each
one. And if you win
a panel every offseason that determines who gets it.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be per team. Maybe we have maybe there was a Marty Schottenheimer would have gotten one of those flags just to be like, look, guys, he's tried so hard.
Right. Like if you win a Super Bowl, then the NFL like strike force shows up at the team headquarters in the off season and confiscates all of them. Like, no.
Yeah, if you've got one and then you win, you have to have a I'd say a lifetime exemption. Like, you don't get another one after that.
It's like when presidents exchange the nuclear football. You know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the eternal, what would I call it, the eternal flag of despair or something like that. But, yeah, that's we have to have that.
To answer Chaos last question, there were, I think, 6 or 7 return for it.
Yeah, there were a few. Yeah, a couple punt returns too. Well, I think the punt returns are different. But, yeah, there were a few. Yeah. But yeah, it's the thing that, you know, the rule's the rule. It wasn't like they made that rule up like they did the Tuck rule. It was a rule that everybody knew.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody likes it. But it's a rule that everybody's aware of. And the helmet-to-helmet thing is what bothered me. But then I thought about this. Okay, let's say they do call that penalty, but there's still the fumble. How do you rule on that?
As far as I'm aware –
would negate it. Would
yeah, because as far as I'm aware, the technically speaking, the hit that was a penalty would have occurred before the fumble. So you would have called that penalty at the spot. You would have called the penalty, and the ball would have been placed at the spot of the flag, which means that the fumble would have been negated, and the Bills and the Browns just would have gotten the ball at the one.
Well, in any case, I put $25 on Rashard Higgins in the Masters because I figured let's roll with this golf thing and see how it goes. I can't be too disappointed. Like I said yesterday, it was January 17th. I'm watching Cleveland Browns football, and they were in a game that, honestly, if Mahomes doesn't get hurt, they're probably never in.
They were hanging in there with the defending champs. Yep. So that's nothing to be ashamed of.
And, you know, like you don't win it in your first shot normally. Like,
no.
You know, this is a team that is still going to be good, right? They still have major pieces in place.
Yeah, they get OBJ back next year.
And, I mean, you look at that division, it's like, well, if Roethlisberger does indeed lead the Steelers, well, that's one team out of your way. And, yeah, you're always going to have Lamar Jackson to deal with. But, you know, there's a playoff spot to be had if they want it every year.
Well, if you look at that division, though, and with Lamar Jackson, as good as he is, there's something they got to fix there. Because the Steelers are heading down the wrong side of the hill. Now, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, any other team, I'd say, hey, they're on the way up. But these are the Bengals we're talking about here.
The only team that could possibly rival the Browns in terms of, hey, this looks pretty good. How can we fuck it up?
Yeah, right, exactly. But, yeah, I think if they fix their issues on defense, I think that's the biggest problem they have.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a Chiefs light up the scoreboard team, but they can score enough points to beat anybody. I would think of them more as like a – well, actually, I think they'd be very similar to your Rams, Zach, if they had everything hitting the way it was supposed to.
I don't want to talk about the Rams.
Well, I understand that, but – but, yeah, they would be like more in line – or like maybe not, the Titans is probably a bad example, but they'd be a good, solid team. But I don't want to say the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is an evil wizard.
I don't want to talk about the Packers either.
I don't blame you. Oh well. But anyway, it is what it was.
Gold star participation to the Browns. And, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. In say week 12, who had them winning a playoff game and taking the Chiefs down to the wire? No one.
Yeah. No. Nothing to be ashamed of. It does kind of suck that they didn't win because. It's good and bad. Good in that. We don't have to make the choice between, oh, man, which long-suffering fan base would you like to go to the Super Bowl more, Cleveland or Buffalo? but bad, because that would have been fun. It's like if the Browns and Bills had played each other in the AFC title game, there's no – like nobody loses really. Like, hey, yeah, I'm happy with whoever wins that game. That'd be great. But now, clearly, if Patrick Mahomes is even good to go by next Sunday.
He'll play.
I don't know because, first of all, he was limping around on that foot for the first half of the game.
Yeah.
And then he got
– Look, Patrick Mahomes shouldn't play, but he will play because this is how sports teams operate.
He's a Super Bowl champ already. They know they're going to be good.
Remember when the Washington, name redacteds, blew up their immediate future because they insisted RG3 play in that playoff game?
Well, that's an ACL.
I think.
Yeah, no, but still, it's the same. You know, it's the same. Yeah. It's the same concept. Like, look, here's what's going to happen. They're going to shop around Patrick Mahomes to like every doctor that they can find, and when one of them, who's probably going to have like a fucking Kansas City Chiefs themed, you know, lab coat, is going to be like, "Oh yeah, coach, he's good to play." And
yeah, totally singing the suit up right now, coach.
And look, I'm not even saying that Patrick Mahomes' career is going to end, you know, next week, but it's very risky both to, you know, Patrick Mahomes' health and to the Chiefs' future to play him, but they're going to anyway.
He was on a different planet.
I have not seen a dude knocked that sillier than shit in a long time.
Well, and the thing was, he didn't like get hit directly in the head.
They're thinking that he got choked out, basically.
I heard that, like,
either that or like a twisted nerve. Like a whiplash.
I heard it was like some kind of like nerve thing. Like he twisted his neck and it like pinched a nerve. That
I heard he's like, a pussy and he got hit and he didn't like it, so he's gonna quit football. That's what I heard.
he was somewhere else. I mean, you probably could have convinced him he was still playing baseball, and he would have been like, okay, the uniforms look weird, but all right. Yeah.
Pretty scary to see the face of the league come up all noodly.
I would prefer them to stomp on his toe. I didn't want him to like half kill the bastard, you know?
In other years, like different, like era gone by, like that would have been a, like, he got his bell rung and throw him back in. And he'd be in the hospital like Troy Aikman after the game, like wondering, did we win? It's like, yeah, dude, you threw like 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't remember any of this shit.
Yeah, it's great that we are much more careful about this stuff, but you're right. Like, if that had happened in the 80s, he goes off the sideline for a couple minutes to give him some smelling salts. He comes back out and probably doesn't remember the rest of the game.
Oh, the 90s, too. I mean, it wasn't until the last, like, 10, 15 years.
But again, the thing that was scary to me is that he wasn't just blasted and that happened. Like, it looked like a pretty innocuous tackle, all things considered.
I didn't think it was his head. Until I saw him walking around afterward where he kind of had that kind of glazed look in his face. It's like, oh, that's a concussion.
It's interesting when you say, you know, oh, he totally, you know, in the 90s, he would have – or 80s, they would have put him back in. Absolutely. Did you hear what Andy Reid said after the game?
No.
So Andy Reid was like, yeah, he looked a bit shaken after the tackle, but, you know, he saw the doctors and he came run back out to the sidelines and, you know, he looked like he was good to go. But of course, the league has protocols, so you can't do that. But like,
oh, yeah, he came running back out. He was speaking Russian.
Like, but like, that's the thing. Like, I guarantee you, if Andy Reid would have been allowed to put him back in, he would have.
All right. That's. See, it goes back to my love-hate relationship with the NFL. We all know that if it weren't for the documentary, I can't remember the name of it anymore, that was on PBS a few years back, and then that bad movie with Will Smith and all the talk about it, that he would have been back out there 5 minutes later, and we all know it. Because the NFL, they just put such a premium on – they have no premium on players at all. It's like you're just moving parts that we move in and out and this and that. And it would have been awful. And – yeah.
Next man up. Next man up.
Next man up. That's what I was trying to find. Yeah. Next man up. Yeah. Shannon, you're up.
Yep. I mean, that's the weird. That's in every single, what's the HBO documentary? Hard Knocks. Every single Hard Knocks, they always talk about, you know, if he, like, some guy goes down on the field screaming, his leg bent the wrong way, and they're like, well, you know, it's next man up. He's got to be ready. You never know. Any day it could happen. You could make a great career.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, when you really like take a couple steps back, it's a very barbaric sport.
Well, sure, it doesn't make it awesome, you know. I mean, you know, it's a graceful sport with a lot of, you know, incredible moments and strategy and all this neat stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they weren't selling videotapes of guys, you know, making incredibly agility-filled great highlights. They were selling tapes of guys like getting concussed back in the second grade.
There was an entire ESPN segment where they – was it called Jacked Up?
Jacked Up. And that wasn't that long ago.
No, that was like 20
years. No, that was Chris Berman and Steven Jackson, right? Right? Like
Tom Jackson. Was that
Tom Jackson, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd like some guys they get knocked into last week and they're like, jacked up, baby.
So, yeah, and like I'm not gonna lie, that was like my favorite segment.
Yeah, it was all our favorite segments, and now it's just really weird to look back on.
The only reason I tuned in the ESPN Sunday countdown was for Jacked Up and Come On Man. That's it.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Well, sure. And I mean, it's still satisfying to see like a really good, clean hit where it's like the shoulders and stuff like that. And you can tell a lot of players are trying desperately to awkwardly make clean tackles in a relatively impossible game to do that.
Right.
And when it does work out, though, it's really nice to see a guy take his shoulder and just lay the fuck out of another guy. Because it's like, yeah, man, fucking football. Cool. Sweet.
That's the thing. Like, if the Browns are playing the Steelers and they just light up Ben Roethlisberger, part of me is going, yeah, that was great. You know, okay, fine. You know, oh, I mean, I'm sorry. He can't breathe.
You guys saw me cheering for Aaron Donald to rip out Russell Wilson's entry.
Yeah, you're like, you're going, it's like, I want to see him hunt another man.
Exactly. What you're talking about is you're glorifying murder. And that's, you know, we can't have that. I mean, ask around certain NFL players, they may be all about that. You talk to Aaron Hernandez, he would have been all about that shit.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, we got lucky with him. Probably
Ray Lewis an MVP.
yeah, fuck you forever, Baltimore. Cass Blasberg's up a good point. Andy, you could probably address this better than us, but the stigma of NFL players not playing through injuries, did it kind of start with Jay Cutler in that NFC Championship?
Well,
that was a knee, though, wasn't it? That wasn't a concussion.
That's a complicated thing because that was an MCL injury. With an ACL, I mean, first of all, Cutler is not a pitiable figure. I mean, I feel like the guy's actually pretty, as far as like quarterbacks go, he's tough as nails. Like, he's a tough dude. He took some big hits, kept playing. But when an ACL is different from an MCL and how your body reacts. So when he fucked his MCL up very legitimately, before the second half of that game. And when he came out, he's on the exercise bike and walking around, and people are, you know, Chicago fans are incensed, A, because it was the Packers, and B, because they already hated Cutler in the first place. And you see the guy on the sideline in uniform on a bike. It's like, well, get your ass out there and play. But it's not that simple. You know, when a guy quarterback drops back to play and his knee will not take his own weight. And, you know, it's plus the guy's like a franchise quarterback at the time. They haven't had that kind of quarterback in many years, and he was only like 3 years into his Bears.
You don't want to fuck up his future, right?
So. Well, no. You know, if they knew then how just dog shit he was, they would have been like, Jay, just get your ass up and go get hurt. Just go do whatever it is we're going to do. But I think that's a very like that example is a very symbolic. Example of what
well, like, I also don't want to. I don't want to stereotype anyone. And to be clear, I'm not coming at this from a place of malice necessarily, because I'm a Leafs fan, and Leafs fans could be the exact same way about this. But it didn't help that it was also Chicago, where it's like, God damn it, like, well, stop being a pussy.
You get a 10-pound fracture, they tell you spit and rub some dirt on it. And
I remember when I was in this is a while ago. I was gonna say high school, but then upon thinking about it, it was more like middle school, which is, God, I'm old.
You don't even know what old means.
Yeah, okay. So I was watching but I remember watching the Leafs in a playoff game, and I don't know if anyone here remembers Darcy Tucker.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I do. So Darcy Tucker was an assistant captain for the Maple Leafs at the time. They were in the playoffs, and Darcy Tucker, you know, got his helmet knocked off and then went headfirst into a goalpost.
Ooh!
And he was taken out of the game. And they even reported, it's like, oh yeah, he's got a concussion. And then he came back like later in the game and scored a goal. And. Ooh.
He's a hockey player.
And everybody was going on, like, everyone on, you know, CBC was creaming themselves, right? Don Cherry's like, oh, that's how you play hockey, you know? Like, that's good old Ontario boy Leafs hockey. And so, but, like, you look, and me as a kid, you know, as a young Leafs fan, I was like, oh, my God, Darcy Tucker's badass. But it's like, when I think back at, you know, what that game was and, you know, what he did to himself, it's cringy as all hell. Sure.
Every fan base has that. Like,
we've seen guys
like my own ducks. Fucking Paul Kariya probably died. I thought he died.
He scores a goal, and then he's just lying there on the ice, and everyone's like, hey, Paul! You did it!
He literally doesn't remember scoring that. He doesn't remember that game.
Paul Kariya was dead on the ice, but he's a hockey player, so he came back to life, because that's what hockey players do.
No, there was literally that one. Was it Rich Peverly for Dallas? He literally had a heart attack and nearly fucking died on the bench. But then when he woke up, he's like, I want to get back in the game.
Right?
Dude, your heart stopped. We're taking you to the hospital. No, but my shift.
Okay, I mean, at that point, you just go, like, part of me is like, that is badass. Just like part of me is still kind of like Darcy Tucker in that game was a goddamn legend. But then like the other part, knowing everything that we know now, is like, no, be a fucking adult and go get your, you know, head or your defective heart looked at before you die, please.
All this to come back to, like, if the Chiefs know, even Andy Reid, if they have any sort of rational bones in their entire body, they realize that they can go win a Super Bowl right now, or they can win three more if they just let Pat Mahomes sit out this game.
Also, like, again, we don't know the extent to which Pat Mahomes is
Patrick. Sorry, Mrs. Mama Mahomes.
Mama Mahomes. But no, okay.
That's actually her real name, Mrs. Mama Mahomes.
Mahomes.
A strange coincidence.
But she's okay. We don't know how bad Patrick Mahomes is banged up. It's entirely possible that he might actually be fully recovered by the Super Bowl. So you look at it like,
he'll play the Super Bowl, but he doesn't need to play next week.
No, exactly. Which is my point. When you look at it, like, okay, you're the Chiefs. Like, do you risk Patrick Mahomes in this game, or do you go, look, we just lit up an NFL caliber, you know, a playoff caliber defense with Chad fucking Henne. Maybe we go with Henne for a week and hope for the best. And if we win, you know, then, you know, Pat's good for the Super Bowl. Like, that seems less insane to me, I guess.
Another risk you run if you play him this week coming off of concussion too soon, he's probably more apt to have another one. And and the Buffalo defense, I think, is a little bit better than the Browns defense.
Yeah.
So they get in there one time. Here's the problem with this.
Just by a tad.
But if they get in there and blast him, they light him up again a week later. Now you're looking at not only Chad Henne manages to make it to the Super Bowl, but you can't cost the guy years from his life down the road. And I know that the NFL doesn't see it that way, but you've got to at some point, like Mike said, or Zach said, you can win three Super Bowls or you can win this one. But you're risking a future. You're risking being the next Patriots by putting this guy out there next week. I agree with that.
Not to mention, the Bills just concussed a quarterback. The Bills defense just concussed another young star quarterback. So maybe.
Yeah, a guy who's a lot harder to catch and hit than your guy is, Kansas City. Just saying, not that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have some good running game, but this is Lamar Jackson we're talking about.
Yeah, let's move over to that game. You texted in when we were watching that game, Greg, the Ravens-Bills game, that you might agree with me that we're not quite ready to give it to Lamar Jackson yet, are we?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. No.
He's good. He's a good quarterback. Just I don't know what his hang-up is in the playoffs, but there's defenses that know how to scheme against him despite his incredible skills. He makes some bad decisions. Like, that pick six, that 101 yarder. Like, maybe not throw it over the middle to the guy that's quadruple covered. That would be my plan.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the trade off there. With Lamar Jackson, you have a very unique talent. You have in a league that it's very hard to find a starting quarterback. I mean, the guy, he was MVP last season, was he not?
Heisman Trophy winner, yeah.
I mean, he's a unique talent. He's a singular skill set in the NFL, but his accuracy and decision making is in question. But I don't know. I think that they are not. I would say that Baltimore is probably okay, because Baltimore is a franchise of all franchises. They seem to have their shit together. And I imagine that there's probably a short leash on him, but not as short as maybe others may think. Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, this team, he won a playoff game this year. You know, I mean, he may not have done it single-handedly, but he was largely responsible for getting them past the initial round. And
yeah.
But I mean, it's obviously it's hard to measure. So like, there's certain franchises around the league, like I don't know, the Chicago Bears, who are a pile of shit, and yet because they go 500 and make the playoffs, it's like this victory lap.
Yeah, Matt Nagy got extended, by the way. So,
well, okay, so that's a different thing. I don't mean to bogart Chicago sports talking this stuff, but
Bears talk. Live on Bass.
I took the first 20 minutes with the Browns, so feel free, man.
Well, basically, you know, would have ripped that extension right up. He said, "I don't deserve it."
Well, no, this is a fascinating study in the media. What's happening with the Chicago Bears, and Zach in particular is a sports beat reporter of sorts. Would be totally like into what happened, because essentially the Bears, you know, they suck. They're mediocre, maybe slightly above average, but mostly mediocre to bad. They have a press conference like 3 days after the season ended. Nobody heard from anybody inside of Bears headquarters. Everyone's wondering, oh, what's going on? What happened? Are they going to fire anybody? Are there going to be any interviews? Anyone brought in? And then they have this big press conference on Zoom where the leadership of the team come out and basically say, you know, that was fine. We're pleased. We're not happy with how the season went. That's unacceptable. So we're keeping everyone.
And also, we're very proud that Mitch is the reigning MVP and 10-year extension. And
quite the contrary, they actually threw him under the bus implicitly. They didn't say it, but they essentially said, like, we're going to pursue every option possible for quarterback next year. Wink, wink, fuck Mitch, he fucked us over. But the people who took him are still going to stick around.
But the guy who drafted him, he's staying because... Yes. But now,
when they were confronted with these questions by the Chicago press, who are not an easy press to deal with, they essentially just wilted and got kind of testy with them. And the press was like, with all due respect, you're full of shit. Like, this is stupid. Your team sucks. And you're pissing on my shoes here and saying it's raining. And the team, it was such an embarrassment that the team chairman called around the local radio stations the following day trying to do this damage control tour thing. It was, and now it's almost like I would not be surprised if next year, in the whole like coming offseason, the Chicago press is essentially like, you know what? We're done with this bullshit. You guys suck. We know it. You're lying.
I feel like in a place like Chicago, and again, I'm drawing on my experience as a Leafs fan, like if you are a football coach, player, or executive in that city for the Bears, like you've just got to fuck, like it doesn't matter if you make a bad decision. Like, you got to fucking own it, because that media is not going to let you do anything else. So it's like, you know, the media is like, well, you know, with all due respect, your decision's full of shit. You just go, yeah, well, fuck you. Like, this is how it's going to happen. So fuck off. Like, that's how you got to be.
I wish they would do exactly that. All teams, like, fuck off. A lot of fuck offs coming back and forth would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just like, well, with all due respect, you know, this is bullshit. Well, with all due respect, you know, go suck my dick. And it's just that back and forth for like half an hour until the press conference ends.
Every clip on ESPN will be nothing but beeps.
I mean, it's very, you know, we've seen a lot of this the past year with the press in Washington becoming very antagonistic and virtually enemies of the soon to be not leader of the free world.
Well, and unless you're OAN and then you just slobber his knob.
Correct.
Oh my God. We don't want to go down that.
Yeah.
But Jesus, God, you know, that network's amazing.
We've seen the press get very contentious with him. And I wouldn't have expected to see it in Chicago sports. I mean, generally, Chicago sports media is very cynical. They're not necessarily very confrontational. But this was as thorny as I think I've ever seen them. And I strongly recommend going to – I assume they have it on the Bears website somewhere and watching this. I think you'd be amazed, especially, you know, if you have experience in the sports press.
Yeah.
Where, like, you can just see these guys who own a multi-billion dollar entity just completely lose –
And especially because in sports media, more often than not, like, you're pretty deferential, especially when it's like the team president that's coming out there, because
you need access.
Right. You need the access.
Absolutely.
So when you finally reach the point of, yeah, I don't think so, and they start closing the door on you, then you know that something really is going on back there, and they don't want you to know about it. And that's when you gotta bang on doors.
I remember when I was covering minor league baseball back when I lived in upstate New York. The press box, there was this one writer, his name was Matt something, wrote for the Syracuse Post-Standard. And he would – this is minor league baseball. I mean, who cares? You know, you're not there to win. But he would ask tough questions, and they hated his guts, the whole team. Like, that. Like they would not talk to him. Upper management was shitty to him. The players were shitty to him. The management of the team, the coaches, everybody was just like, no. Because he was not deferential in any way, shape, or form. I don't know whatever happened to him, but – yeah, you've got to – it's a weird dynamic because you're not – I don't want to – I mean, I've done it too, Zach, so I can't – I don't want to, like, disparage what we've done or what you do and what I've done, but it's not exactly covering the White House.
No. No, it is not.
So you got to kind of play the game a little bit because you do need that access. You become the guy where you – they won't talk to you until last and everybody else is done and blah, blah, blah. It's just weird. So – I think it's great when they finally start calling a team on their bullshit.
Yeah.
Kind of do it at your own peril, I would think, too.
Well, this is a nice segue.
I was just going to bring this up. This is awesome.
Yeah. So this is
that. Oh, great. I wanted to talk about this. Oh.
So Jake, is it Jake Voracek?
Jake Voracek there on the left.
Yeah. He's making the stink eye, clearly looking at – there's a reporter who – I can't remember his name.
His name is like Mike Selesky.
Something.
They're doing this over Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But I for whatever reason, I'm imagining this guy, the reporter in the press pool, and this – Voracek is just like staring daggers at him. But I guess last year he wrote a piece essentially calling Voracek out for being like – for laughing after a big loss. And just essentially being a reliable just asshole. And anyway.
And not even just that. He subsequently made several tweets of like whenever like something bad would go on. It's like, oh, why this is Jake Voracek's fault? My column. And then just a colon. Not actually writing the piece, but like making – he clearly thinks Jake Voracek sucks. It is making players actively worse.
Right. And then this,
if you're watching this on our YouTube right now, pay attention to Jake Voracek, what he's saying, but watch Travis Konecny on the right.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so funny.
This is what makes it poetry. Go ahead, Andy.
For Jake, two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write fucking shit every time. It doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny.
It's like, ooh.
Spicy.
So good.
Yeah. It's a little rough there.
Well, and like, there are certainly columnists in every town that just like their whole bit is being a dick.
Yep.
And it seems like that's what this guy's thing is. And then he did like this whole – he did an interview with some Penguins blog trying to be like, oh, well, I understand. Like, you know, trying to be like, oh, I don't know why he's so mad at me. I write a column every now and then saying maybe he should be better, but I have no idea why he
– I write a column every now and then telling everyone why he's human feces, but I don't know why he took it so personally.
Yeah, I write columns and tell him he sucks. I don't see what the –
He played the victim card heavily on his Twitter account afterward and was like, hello, I have been attacked by an NHL player. It was unfortunate.
That was the best thing to come out of all the press conferences in the NHL that day. Come on. I think that's the thing. I had to just go, okay, this guy's going to say that I'm fucking shit and that I write terrible and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. You know, it's not covering the wild. You know,
but again, we're talking about an NHL player, so it's amazing that he didn't say anything other than we got pucks in deep and played our game.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The fact that an NHL player said something is like, whoa, what the hell?
That's why I think if you are in sports journalism, like the NHL is honestly the beat you want because like half the time you don't even actually have to do your, you can just write platitudes and
you don't even have to go after them. You don't have to.
we out there. You know, everybody was working hard on their shift and all the other
everyone, stuff. We got pucks in deep and we played played Penguins hockey and
hockey is a sport where you ask them the questions simply to have it on record that they are saying pucks in deep.
I've played a full 60 minutes. So,
That's so good. You know, but being, on the other hand, there are, like, in being involved in this, there are some reporters that are just dicks. And even if the press corps is like, why are you such an asshole to these guys? And it's not even like sometimes you need to be critical because they do bad. No. This is you just like, you clearly have a problem with this guy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And what the guy finally fires back at you, it's like, whoa, holy, what did I do? What did you do? You've been telling this guy that he's garbage for 3 years. I would say something eventually to you too. And they can't do it like normal. And I guess this is something of the Zoom era, right? Where like normally you might be like, hey, Mike, let's go talk in the hallway for a second. And then you'd be like, don't fucking talk to me. I'm not going to answer your questions. You're an asshole. Leave me alone forever. But now on Zoom, like the only way to talk to him is in front of everybody else. So
now all this stuff's getting aired. Yeah.
Oh, there was a guy when I was living in upstate New York that did a radio show that was just brutal to the Syracuse University football program. Just absolutely tore them to pieces every chance he got. And ended up access to the team over it. But I didn't really care because I didn't like the team that much anyway. It was me, by the way. I was the one that did that.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like there are better ways of going about, like with Jim Gray at the All-Star game many years ago, where he was critical, I think, of Pete Rose, and then the players, the All-Star game players didn't want to talk to him, or they essentially just gave him like a friendly no comment, or you're not welcome right now. I mean, it is infinitely more awesome when a pro athlete is like, go fuck yourself. You're a slap. Like that is always better. That is always better for the world when players do that stuff.
He got in trouble for the Pete Rose thing, right? At the what was it?
All-Star game in Boston, I think.
Yeah, the 100th anniversary. I don't remember what the occasion was, but I mean, I have to agree that probably not the place to have that particular interview at that moment. Now, if you want to catch Pete Rose after the game or at some point and do that same interview, that's fine. But right in the middle of this really kind of cool baseball thing, and you start bringing up all that shit, I can see. Then I will say this too: Pete Rose is a jackass.
Yeah. Well, sure. Jim Gray was doing a media tour recently because I guess he had a new book or something, and I heard him on a podcast or two talk about that exact story. And just they've made up since, and Pete Rose is like, I understand why you had to ask me the question, but
that's the thing. I mean, you when the right time is, and you might Jim Gray. Another shot to ask him all that stuff in front of such a big audience. So who knows? Michael Walker, still don't know how Tony Grossi, who used to be at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, I think he writes for Cleveland.com now, which I think is the way he goes after the Browns and Baker Mayfield. I got to disagree with you on that with you, Mike. I don't think he's unfair. As a Browns fan, it's tough sometimes, but I Tony Grossi, I like him, so sorry about that.
But like, when we talk about like players kind of firing back, Baker has been a guy over the last, I guess, 2 years now. Because and this isn't anything that's a surprise, but Colin Cowherd doesn't like Baker Mayfield because of how he carries himself and all that stuff.
Yep.
So like, Baker Mayfield makes it a point to turn his hat backwards when he does the Zoom interviews because he knows that Colin Cowherd hates it. Colin Cowherd doesn't think it's very professional to wear the logo on the back of your hat and like turn it around and be an adult and wear your hat forward. You're not a child.
How is it that Colin Cowherd is 40 years older than I am? I don't understand that. I mean, he's actually younger than me and probably 30 years older at the same time. The dude is like, it's not 1958 anymore. So the dude wears his hat backwards. What the fuck difference could that possibly make? I just don't get it. He's a fucking douche nozzle anyway, but
he's a head. This talking head that adds nothing.
How the Buffalo Bills remind me of Bitcoin. Next.
Well, Mike, because obviously my hockey team is sort of in this weird limbo state of purgatory slash hockey just boring, boring trash. How is everyone else's hockey doing for the first NHL week? Oh, sorry. Are we transitioning too soon?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got to talk about. We got to talk about Mike's.
Oh God, this is gonna be good.
Just let Mike just groan in pleasure for 30 seconds.
Look. All I'm gonna say is, remember when people were like, "The Saints are the only team to sweep Tom Brady."
Like real big underdog there with the greatest quarterback of all time.
Tom Brady did a really good job getting all those interceptions too.
Greatest quarterback of all time. I didn't see Joe Montana on that field anymore.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's probably statistically and ring wise going to be like the horny go to.
Oh, I know. I just say that because I know it bothers
me. Mike, I get it. You're embracing the heel turn and you're.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? If Aaron Rodgers went to the Bears and won them a Super Bowl, I don't think I'd be the same thing. I don't think I'd be the same. Your team lured an old man to Florida where all people tend to go. No offense to Greg.
That's just one. He got Tom. They got Gronk.
And we got AB. Yeah.
All the old guys. Come on down.
Yeah. Take
your old and broken things down to Tampa Bay.
Old and broken. No. I'm sorry. The old and broken thing was playing for New Orleans last night.
I'm going to pick. You used to love
Drew Brees, Mike. What happened to you?
Hollywood Mike. That's a heel turn.
You guys did not beat a very good team yesterday. The Saints are terrible. I said it.
I think the thing that I was, in all seriousness, kidding aside, the thing that I took away from that game last night is that Drew Brees is cooked and probably would have. And no offense, Andy, probably would have lost last week if it was anyone but the Bears.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was a telling sign of just how shit the Saints are is that the Bears made it a game.
Yeah.
You know what was the funniest thing to me in that game was the fact that the Bears or the Saints took the Bears play that they dropped in the end zone and just ran it back for themselves.
They did. But like looking at it, Drew Brees is done.
With James Winston, no less.
Drew Brees is done. The Bucs scored, I think it was 21 points off four turnovers. So three of those were Brees interceptions.
Right. And all those interceptions were bad.
Yeah, like those were throws that, you know, they're throws that, you know, he either wouldn't have made previously or, you know, previously he would have had more zip on the ball that would have made them not picks, but it's clear that, you know, Brees is done. And like, I was actually thinking about this, right? And I was thinking about Brett Favre's, you know, eternal quest for one more Super Bowl. And it's really like, okay, it's really fucking hard to go out a champion. Peyton Manning barely managed it because he had like one of the best defenses of all time to, you know, carry his corpse to a Super Bowl. But like you look at Brett Favre, right?
And a fused neck.
And a fused neck, yeah. But you look at like Brett Favre, right? Who hung around far longer than he needed to because he wanted to go out with one more ring, and it ended up he went out a broken shell of a man. Then you look at someone like Drew Brees, who broke every rib in his body and punctured his lungs and still insisted on playing and had the good sense to say, you know, win, lose, whatever, this is it. But, you know, Drew Brees' last, you know, two passes in the NFL are going to be, you know, picks. So it's one of those things where if you're lucky enough as a quarterback in the NFL to win a Super Bowl, anything from that point on, consider gravy. And when you feel like you're done, just call it. Don't try to hang on for one more shot at glory because the Super Bowl is really hard to win. And the people who can't do it, you know, that list is far longer than the people who have been able to go out on top.
Well, the list is only short because Tom Brady won't let anyone else have any fun with it.
The list is, consists of one person, John Elway.
John Elway, Peyton Manning.
Elway could still play when he quit.
That's true.
Peyton just happened to win a Super Bowl and went home after he went like 5 for 50 with 10 yards.
Peyton wanted to do was get that one live ad read at the end of the Super Bowl for a final payday for delicious Budweiser to get a nice fat wad of cash.
Papa John's.
I think that was a troll.
Chicken farm.
That was a troll job. I think he just did it because he could.
Oh, bullshit.
Peyton wanted to hang around so he could get one. He wanted the one extra. So people can stop saying, "Hey, your brother has more."
Right
now, it's like, all right.
His brother also
could go home.
His brother also beat Tom. I don't know that Peyton could have won 5 rings and wouldn't be able to say that. But
he beat Tom Brady on the way to the first one.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that was always Eli's thing too. Not only did he have one more ring than Peyton, but he got them both against the Patriots, and. On a couple of the luckiest fucking plays you'll ever see in your life, but whatever.
Well, speaking of unlikable assholes, the Packers and the Bucks. I have zero interest in that game. I have no.
Oh my god! Rodgers versus Brady for the. Though, and Andy, I hadn't really got a chance to watch the Packers all year, but in the 60 football minutes that I got to take them in for,
enjoy.
What a bunch of arrogant bastards.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
Like, literally, every time they did something, it was like, holy shit, look at me. It's like, dude, great, you're the number one seed. You're a good team. I'm fine with losing to a good team. But it's like, was it Aaron Rodgers when he ran into the end zone? It's like he threw his hands up and was looking back at his friends like, hey, hi, guys. Aren't I cool? Like, fuck.
Oh, he's a complete asshole. I'll be the first to admit that.
Well, look who it falls to put that one down.
I don't care. I'm rooting heavily for the AFC champion. No matter what the hell happens. I don't care. It's just like...
Look,
nothing in this world will make me want Tom Brady to be... Aaron Rodgers, and nothing in this world will want me to have Aaron Rodgers beat Tom Brady.
I'm just gonna say, one, the Bucks, you know, kicked the Packers' ass the first time they played this season.
But was that in Tampa?
Yes. It was in Tampa. Yes,
it wasn't in 25 degree Green Bay.
Well, that's point one's like appendix A is that, you know, the Bucks have traditionally not done well in the cold, but. They do have a quarterback who, you know, Tom Brady knows how to play in cold weather in January. So there is.
Mean everybody else does.
The second point is that.
The Buccaneers also have a quarterback that kisses their own children on the mouth.
Second point is the Packers secondary, not great. So. I'm not saying like I'm just saying I think that a Bucks win is very possible.
Yeah. Well, if the Packers defense played like it did against the Rams, then I'll say the Packers probably do it because Aaron Rodgers looks just too good right now.
Let's formally get our
Would you also say Pecorine looks too good right now?
Don't tell me that asshole's playing well. Because fantasy hockey.
It's a joke. It's a urinating tree joke.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right, no, so, we can talk about fantasy hockey later, Greg, because I'm very mad about our first week's matchup.
I'm ecstatic about my first week. No, that went swimmingly.
We tied, but it was
fuck's sake.
It was the closest damn tie I've ever seen, and I hated it.
I don't have any goalies. I've got like 5 backup goalies.
You're like the Blackhawks.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. You've got – oh, you're back on the Darcy Kemper train.
Yeah, well, he was what was available. I'm riding or dying with Darcy Kemper, baby. That's it. One day he'll become elite. He'll be the next Ken Dryden. Just wait and see.
Let's get our picks in for the conference championships, and we'll move on to hockey.
Okay.
Because right now it's a 3-way tie. I am impossibly dead in this.
Didn't we? Right. Us three got everything right last week, didn't we?
No, Zach went with the Rams, which was a bad call, but I understand it. And I chose the Chiefs. I chose the Browns and the Saints just to try and make up some ground, and it failed me. This
Mike and I went 4-0, though, right?
Yes. So, okay. Greg, you are 8-2. Mike, you're 7-3. Zach, 7-3. I am 4-8. So, Mike, who are you taking for Bills and Chiefs?
The Bills look really, really good. The Chiefs, you know, there are questions to the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, not just the concussion, but also his foot injury, right? But at the same time, they also played very well with Chad Henne. So as much as I want the Bills to do well, I think this is the case for Buffalo, maybe next year. But this year, I think the Chiefs win this.
Okay. I think Chad Henne, should he take this thing all the way, will be just the second Michigan quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl behind Tom Brady. I don't think anyone else has ever done it because fuck them.
Greg, are you taking the Chiefs? Or are you?
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs. I would love to see the Bills do this. And I used to like the Chiefs, and then yesterday happened. I'm like, I don't think I like you guys so much anymore.
Fuck yourself.
I'm not there yet. I do think we're seeing the birth of the new Patriots. Is what I think's happening. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, Austin from Boston can go get fucked saying, you know, oh, I'm tired of the Chiefs. You're a Patriots fan, so just you don't get to be tired of anyone.
Not after one season, no. But I'm taking the Chiefs all the way. I think that Mahomes will play, and they're going to sacrifice their future to win this game, and that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. So yeah, Chiefs all the way.
I just looked up to see if he was playing because that's the big thing, right? Like, if it's Chad Henne, then I'm picking the Bills.
Yep.
If it's Patrick Mahomes, then I'm picking the Chiefs. I know that we can't have that sort of have half and half right now for the purpose of this. So I'll go Chiefs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like their skill positions are just too good. Like if their line plays as well as it did, and the skill guy, like all Chad Henne has to do is throw some screen passes to Tyreek Hill, and they could probably still win the game, right?
Well, not only that, but their defense didn't look bad yesterday.
Right, yeah.
And not like the Browns are an offensive powerhouse, but they did a pretty solid job against the Browns, which I thought was pretty impressive because that was the thing. Everybody thought if the Browns had a shot, it was going to be winning like 47-43, and it was low scoring, and the Chiefs did a good job. So I like the Chiefs. Plus, the Bills, they've won both games. They haven't looked terribly impressive in either one. And
also,
I love the Bills. I mean, they're like our weird cousins from, you know, a little bit east or whatever. But yeah.
I will. It also worth pointing out that I don't know that Andy Reid is now like the only coach to, you know, in two separate instances, coach a team that's hosted a conference championship game 3 years in a row.
Oh, was it? Yeah, the Eagles did that, right?
They were Eagles saying during the broadcast. Yeah. Only one team in the NFC has done that. That's the Eagles. And only one team in the AFC has now done that. That's the Chiefs. And both of them are Andy Reid.
I wonder how Bring Back the Vet feels about that.
Not great.
Andy?
I'm going to take the Bills because I feel like the Bills' defense is infinitely better than the Browns. The Browns are a woeful. They can tackle. They had some decent moments, but I feel like the Bills defense is young. They're in a prime to make some noise, and I feel like the Bills just have that weird it factor. I don't know if they'd win a championship. In my mind, the Chiefs and Packers is probably where it's going to be, but I'm taking the Bills because everyone's going to hate the Chiefs here in a couple years anyway because they're just going to keep on winning. But the Bills, again, when the fuck was the last time the Bills made the AFC title game? How often?
93.
7 or 8 years old. So I was like, how many times do I get a chance to do this? I'm taking the Bills, Josh Allen and the Bills, and that young defense will find a way to win and make the Super Bowl, make some noise. But Mike, you are choosing the Bucks over the Packers, I presume.
Look, it's we're in ride or die territory, so yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Greg,
they all coming for a shot at the king.
I don't know.
I'm Packers all the way. I have to. I've got,
you're an owner and investor. I assume you're in the Packers.
I've got a vested interest in the Packers. It's more like a business relationship as opposed to the Browns with all of my heart. But yes, Packers all the way.
All right.
So Aaron Rodgers is going to show Tom Brady who the best quarterback in the NFL is. Simple as that.
I'm Team Meteor.
you have to accept.
I know. Honestly, I don't know how if I would be able to take the media just waterfall that would happen if Tom Brady won a Super Bowl with another team.
Right.
Be like, oh, this confirms he's the greatest of all time. It's just, no. So as much as they're dicks, I'll go Packers so we can get a good Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl I rematch.
Yeah, sure. No, I will too take the Packers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is probably on a
Rodgers too good right now.
He's really, really good. The only thing I'm kind of semi rooting for the Packers to win the title, just so that maybe an inkling of retirement will enter Aaron Rodgers' head. Maybe coming out with a bang, he'll suddenly realize, like, you know, the Packers drafted a quarterback last year. I just won a title. It's like it's not going to get any better than this. I'm going to walk away.
I think that what happens if he wins the whole thing. The Packers get on the phone and go, we'll give you this backup quarterback we drafted and two number ones for Deshaun Watson. And we just keep right on rolling.
That's something we haven't discussed when we can talk briefly. So is what the hell is going on in Houston? Why the hell? I mean,
Houston's run by idiots. I think
that's the short answer. Houston is a joke organization that is just burning their goodwill to the ground. But I mean, he's what, 24, 25?
I'll tell you what, if they wanted to do him for Mayfield straight up, I'd do it today. I would have done it at halftime yesterday.
No. Get in line. The Rams are already trading Jared Goff in two firsts. We're doing it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
so that's gonna happen.
Literally everybody wants Deshaun Watson. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure, like, the Rams are, like, somebody asked me, like, oh, do you like Jared Goff? I'm like, yeah. Would you trade him for Deshaun Watson? In a fucking second.
Right.
And I'm sure the Bears want to do it. I'm sure every team that has a bad to mediocre quarterback is like, yeah, I would take Deshaun Watson.
I've heard packages being floated around with the Dolphins. They're going to trade Tua and, like, a couple of firsts. Yeah.
The rumor I heard is that, like, Tua and the pick that they lost to get him back, like,
wow, this is kind of draft day.
Yeah,
you pancake eating motherfuckers.
So, well, with that trade with Deshaun Watson, he has a no trade clause, so he gets to choose where he goes.
Yes.
So he basically told the Houston GM in so many words, like, I want to go to Miami. Trade me to Miami. That's the only place I'm going to say yes to.
God, they would be so good with him.
And it's certainly not going to go to the Bears because that same jackass general manager is still there who didn't draft Deshaun Watson. And also, Deshaun Watson implied that the Bears are a racist organization a couple years ago, so they're not going to he's not going to eat crow. And
I don't know if the Bears are racist, just dumb. There's a difference.
No, they're just dumb. They mean well, they're just stupid. But I don't know how this is going to play out.
Well, the thing with Houston, too, is I guess Deshaun Watson told them specifically, like, hey, interview Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City offensive coordinator. And Houston said, no. Like, we're just flat out, no, we're not going to do it. It's like, that just shows you that it's not just them, like, having a riff with Deshaun Watson, but it does show how fucking stupid they just
I don't get this. I mean, all these jobs have popped up. How has Eric Bieniemy not gotten one of these jobs yet?
Over I don't know.
I've never fucking heard of.
I don't know. Like, the fucking – the Chargers, this pissed me off because the Rams can't keep a coordinator to save their goddamn lives because people keep hiring them. Stop stealing our coordinators. And so the Chargers hired Brandon Staley, who was the defensive coordinator for 53 weeks.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to move, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, he does. The Rams practice in Ventura County and the Chargers practice in Orange County, so he has to move. But it's just like, they didn't even, like, take the time to interview Eric Bieniemy. And it's like, you have Justin Herbert, a good, young, passing, mobile quarterback. What does Eric Bieniemy have right now in Kansas City? Oh, a young, accurately downfield passer, mobile quarterback. Oh, I just – and the same thing here with Deshaun Watson. It's like, Deshaun Watson would be a perfect quarterback for what Eric Bieniemy wants to do. And he's a guy that your star quarterback wants. And you could like score some brownie points with the rest of the league because you hired a diversity guy. He's not another young white dude. He's a black guy that's smart and can really like take things. And they just said, no, we're not even going to interview him.
I completely
understand why Deshaun Watson says, yeah, you guys have screwed me over at every turn. You keep trading away all my best players, and now you don't want to get the coach that would help me and probably just the rest of the team in general more than others. So screw you. Screw you and everything that you're involved with.
I really hope that race doesn't have anything to do with this, but Jesus, Eric Bieniemy has been on a top candidate for head coaching jobs list for a long time now.
And you want to think that it doesn't have anything to do with it, but yet.
But it sure fucking looks like it.
Well, I mean, you just look around at all the guys that keep getting hired, and you're like, you know what? There's something out there.
You know what? I like Kevin Stefanski, but I don't know. I just Eric Bieniemy needs to get a job somewhere because the guy is fucking Bieniemy great.
Wasn't he kind of rough as a player? Like, there was some criminal stuff? I'm not trying to speak. You know?
No, I don't know. I mean, he was a okay running back. If I remember right, I don't remember much about him other than that. Maybe somebody can look him up real quick and find out. But
I would not be surprised if he did get hired in Houston, because that organization is trash, and they did like interview him reluctantly recently. And I'm sure it's almost like, just what do you want us to do, man? Like, part of the reason the guy, their new GM from the Patriots, who's been a name that's been circulating for years now, he's kind of a weird looking dude too. I can't remember his name. But that whole organization is weird, especially because there's this Jack Easterby. I don't know if you read about him. He's like a pastor.
Yeah, was he the guy that was a chaplain for the Patriots, and now he's running the Texans?
Yeah, he's been gifted the Texans, and this GM from the Patriots is sort of like, you know, a big get for them because of their relationship. And I would imagine part of the reason he came to Houston was to have a franchise quarterback already in place. But I don't know. I think that he's a good talent, but some of the trade packages I've seen for him are just belligerent. I mean, there have been many, many bad trades in the last 20 years to get into the top five of the draft or for a prospective quarterback who's never played an NFL down, but like in order to get a guy who's 24, 25, a Pro Bowl tier quality
quarterback.
Yes. The asking price is just ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't be dealing – like, you need a future. Don't trade, like, four straight firsts and this lucrative package of talent. Like, the Bears fans are just drunk on trying to get him in Chicago. And it's like, yeah, package up, Mac, five firsts, 3 seconds, and a fourth. And
that's why, like, the only trades that make sense are the ones where you're trading a slightly – like, not even necessarily proven because with Tua, but like a quarterback that has an ability, like some ability to him, like and other stuff. So you're not trading 17 first round picks. And it's like, as much as it'd be like, oh, the Bears can rectify their mistake, you think Houston is going to be like, oh, Mitch Trubisky? Sounds good.
No.
You know what? With Houston, I wouldn't rule it out entirely, but probably not.
Right. But that's why it's like Miami with Tua. That makes sense. The Rams with Goff. That makes maybe less sense, but still some sense.
You're getting equity back is the main thing. Something tangible that's not like a 30, 35-year-old just whatever. But I don't know. I don't envy any NFL fans in Houston right now. They're in a weird spot.
Yeah. It just seems like that franchise has its head up its ass. Like,
correct.
It's like, oh, we got this GM from the Patriots. It's like, yeah, doesn't that describe Bill O'Brien, how that work for you?
Well, can we finally stop with the if you work for Belichick, you must be a fucking genius at this point?
Yeah, can we stop with that for Sean McVay too, please?
I mean, that's been done years though. Like, I feel like the Sean McVay-esque hirings are starting to go out of vogue too. I don't know what the current new hotness among coaches is. I have to Google the guy, like Arthur Smith. Who the fuck is that?
No, like, literally, Brandon Staley, who the Chargers just hired, was the Rams defensive coordinator for one whole damn season. He was a D3 linebackers coach.
Four
years ago.
Now, he was a Bears linebacker coach. That's the only reason I knew his name. Like, how the fuck did he get a head coach job? Like, what the hell is going on out there?
He was a Bears linebacker coach for a year, then the Rams defensive coordinator for one whole year, and now it's like, oh yeah, that's head coaching experience.
It's like with McVay. I mean, you know, he how was it? Second season he went to the Super Bowl, Zach, or his first?
Second
season, and all of a sudden, now everybody wants a 26-year-old head coach. It's, but you're getting copies at that point, so it's not exactly the same thing.
And now, like again, Sean McVay has been in the league for four years, and he already has three disciples in his head coaching tree.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Like because you have Zach Taylor, Matt LaFleur, and Brandon Staley. And like Brandon Staley,
that shouldn't count.
That doesn't count as being part of the tree, because all Sean McVay did is like, I need somebody that knows how to scheme against my offense to be my defensive coordinator, because that's a guy that would be good. And so we got him, and it worked. And, you know,
I mean, I wouldn't judge. I mean, LaFleur and Taylor, I feel like, are both good coaches. Like, those guys have promise. But
yeah, okay. I mean, Zach Taylor, maybe. Matt LaFleur got put into a really good position.
Yeah.
They both kind of did. They both had, like, one had an established all-time great. The other one had a number one pick to work with.
You know, I mean, and the same with Brandon Staley. Like, he's going to be a defensive guy, but, I mean, it's not like the Chargers. Chargers have a lot of defensive talent, and they have a young QB that they can build around. So,
sure.
Oh, for the record, I would trade Baker Mayfield for Justin Herbert tomorrow too. No problem. Yeah. No problem. And I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's fine. But you got a couple of Deshaun Watson and Herbert's going to be. It sure looks like he's going to be very good. A very good player. We'll see. But yeah.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, I feel like, is one of those guys, and you don't need to go to this whole realm of conversation, but I feel like he's one of those guys who, even if he never wins a title for your team, he's going to have a restaurant in town and be there for probably 40, 50 years. He's going to be that dude that just is always around in local car sales commercials and liquor stores and stuff.
He's the new Bernie Kosar.
Yep.
That's exactly what he is.
Yeah. He's better than him, too, but I mean, it's, you know.
Bernie was good. I think people don't appreciate how good was.
I think Baker Mayfield is probably better than him, though. No offense to Bernie Kosar.
We'll see. We'll see.
But so we have, 20, 30 minutes left. I don't know if you guys want to talk any hockey, or should we just keep going with
talk hockey? Because
I got nothing to talk about. The Blackhawks are just a pile of shit, and they're in a weird spot. Jonathan Tate has a mysterious illness. And won't talk about it. Nobody says what it was. It's
definitely not COVID.
it's definitely not. What was it that Marian Hossa had? Like pad fungus.
He had some real bad shit. Yeah, it was some sort of weird.
Or what? Like when Shane Doan got that weird 19th century.
Right.
Yeah, some 19th century gold prospector's disease.
Nice.
But I will
say, you gotta want me to get it like that, man.
The main victories for me have been seeing the uniforms around the league. For the most part, it's been nice. The Golden Knights should set those on fire. Those gold things.
Their reverse retro uniforms that are red are much better alternates than these.
Watching that gold thing, like the thing that was bad about the gold one, I don't care what the Golden Knights fans want to tell me. You know, when you complain about it online, but they're like, oh no, it's cold and sparkly. It's like, dude, it's mustard. From when you're watching it on TV, it's mustard. It looks awful.
It's mustardy. And I've seen it in person. It's mustardy. And yeah, there is sparkle when you see it in person, but the thing, like
sandpaper, right?
Yeah. It's like sandpaper. It looks really cheap too. Like the description,
guys,
the description that I used for it that I think that I still think holds up is that it's sparkly in the way that a cheap kid's birthday party tablecloth is sparkly.
Right. I'm going to tell you right now, 80% of the people that in this complex that I'm in down here have that jersey material covering their couches and their curtains. That's what it is.
But I mean, that's pretty Vegas when you think about it. I mean, it's
it is, but like,
yeah, 70-year-old, not at all cool.
Well, like, I mean, yeah, it's pretty Vegas, but at the same time, like, Golden Knights fans maybe lean into that and be like, yeah, it's tacky as shit, but it's Vegas, and it's like, okay, I guess I get it, but don't lie to me and tell me that it's good because we both know it's not
right. But it's not even like it's not one of those bad NHL jersey, like so bad that it's good, like the Wild Wing jersey or like Peyote Yodi jersey.
I wouldn't even say it's bad on the same level as that, like, mustard Predators jersey from years ago.
No, but it's in the same vein, because that Predators jersey in particular is bad because of the material and, like, the double layering.
The double layering, and then the acid trip Sabertooth Tiger, yeah.
Whereas, like, this is just – it looks gross. And, and then, again, we said this when we were unveiling the jerseys when they got unveiled, but, like, when you put the whole package together with the gray numbers on the back but the white numbers on the sleeve and the white gloves and the gray – it looks shitty. It looks awful. And, like – I trust me, I watched an entire game of it. It looks terrible. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I won't hear any arguments the other way on it.
But you have to recognize the excellence of what's happening in Calgary. Finally. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Right. They look good, right?
The Calgary Flames look brilliant.
Those are really good. Yeah.
Thank really you. I mean, nice. Like, what fools they were to ride this awful trash for the last – I feel like 15 years.
Well, they changed over to that during the Edge. So,
well, they have been. Let me pull up the exact date. The Calgary Flames have been wearing black with their uniforms since 1995. That's what they've
had. They've had the black in the uniform since 1995, and they had the apron string Edge uniforms
since 2007.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been a long trek in the wilderness for this team.
So well, like even said, when they had black, it wasn't like terrible. Like when they went to the Cup final, it was still fine. But the Edge jerseys just. Ugh.
I so want
you see that's a lot of our lives now. The flags are gone. The pipe is gone.
When you see what they look like now, you just go. They can never improve on that.
So apparently, the GM of the Flames did some interview where he talked about the branding, and he was saying that the reason that one of the reasons, and to keep in mind, this is not the guy who instituted the Edge design. He's come in later, but he said that. When he was talking with team officials when they were contemplating what to do about the uniforms, the flag design was partially there specifically to troll Edmonton by saying, hey, look, we've got the Alberta flag on our uniforms. Isn't like, fuck you.
Edmonton was like, great.
Yeah, and but then Edmonton didn't care. So.
Yeah, it doesn't really work on the Oilers. Yeah, it doesn't really work unless the other side's bothered by it, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, can someone explain to me why the fuck Edmonton is wearing these navy alternates? Somebody stop them. Stop them.
I don't know. They wore them in both their opening games. And I just I don't necessarily have a problem with wearing alternates in your opener, but usually you try to wear what is like the look that's embraced most by the fans or like your main look usually.
How did the – just out of curiosity, I don't know. How did the orange jersey, the switch to orange, go over with the Edmonton fans?
They like it. They sell them.
Yeah, it's fine.
The orange is fine, but God damn it! Like it is arguably the greatest hockey team of all time was an Edmonton Oilers team. So wear that look, guys. Good. Wear that look.
Yeah, I mean, you get what Messier, Curry, Gretzky,
Coffee. Grant Fuhr, yeah.
They've got a timeless
trinity.
Like the orange uniforms are still. I feel like those are just fine. But this Islanders-esque navy lifeless rag needs to be just banned from sport. Whatever they're fucking wearing, it needs to be exiled to some wasted uniform shame.
I get what they're trying to do, but it's also like it looks bad.
What are they trying to do? Look like shit? Because they
it's basically they take the jerseys, they take out the white, so it can be like color, you know, just color on color. But like because the problem is they did this with the navy blue rather than the regular blue, it looks just atrocious.
It would look bad if it was regular blue too. I mean, it wouldn't
look as bad. But yeah, I agree. It, like the whole concept is flawed.
How about the Ottawa Senators? I feel like they've gone back.
I've seen the Senators because the Senators played the Leafs twice in a row, and I guess we can get a lot of. I guess we can look forward to a lot of repeat games now, the way the divisions are scheduled. The Senators, gotta say, I mean, I hate them, but they look good. They look good. They're
wearing what? It's essentially copies of the inaugural set, right?
They're slightly worse versions of the inaugural set, in my opinion, but not so bad that it's egregious. Like, you look at them and you're like, yeah, that's the Ottawa Senators. That's fine.
Yeah.
They're
a team that will be forgotten about in a week when they're solidly in the bottom of the standings.
It won't take long.
Yeah.
The Ottawa Senators, the Texas Rangers of the NHL.
Well,
really, this year, in America at least, all of the Canadian teams are the Texas Rangers of the NHL. Because this is such a weird thing where if you're an American hockey fan, you literally do not have to think about any of those other teams until the conference final because you're never going to play them.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, look, at least we're getting something of a season here, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I know the Canadian media is eating it up in particular.
Look, fuck all of you. Fuck all of you. Can exit from the NHL when we'll take the Stanley Cup with us. Thank you very much.
That would be cool.
Hey, it's donated by the Governor General of Canada. That's Canadian government property.
Well, you got to get it back somehow, I suppose.
Oh, fuck you.
I went Zach heel turn for a second there on your mic. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
you know how I love Canada, so I would never, ever.
It's been weird. Currently, Toronto Winnipeg is 2-1. Just as an aside, and thankfully, I guess for the American networks, with the way that the league is structured now, NHL, the NBC doesn't have to freak out at the possibility of a Toronto Winnipeg Stanley Cup final where they combust into flames and throw themselves out their own windows.
And I think the season's like 40% less exciting just because of that.
I maintain that like the perfect Stanley Cup finals to just completely cause NBC Sports to self combust is like Ottawa Winnipeg. Like,
right. Yeah.
That's one that I don't even know if I would watch.
I'd watch it to root against Ottawa because fuck those guys. But
I kind of like the Jets, so I would root for the Jets. But like if you made it like Ottawa, oh shit, I don't know, Vancouver. Ottawa. I'm not even interested in that.
Yeah. But it is interesting so far. Like the uniforms have looked really sharp. Calgary looks. One more thing I want to talk about the Calgary Flames uniforms. They look so good. They look so good that it becomes mind boggling that this didn't happen sooner. Like you have the perfect Calgary Flames uniforms, you know, as a retro uniform. On top of that, they're associated with Stanley Cup victory, so you got that championship cachet with them. And they're just sitting there, occasionally brought out for like the throwback game. Like, how did it take this long for them to just go, let's just go with our old uniforms that everyone likes?
Yeah. And of course, they do it in the first opportunity where people can't see them in person.
Yes.
You know what, though? I think when we keep talking about the schedule, I almost think this is something I would like to see retained moving forward. I kind of like the idea of these two game series that everybody is playing.
I mean that is something that I've seen brought up, and
Sorry, Mike. Wasn't this proposed by Jonathan Taves like 2 or 3 years ago? Essentially, because scheduling, I think he or some parts of the players' union submitted.
Yeah,
that rang like this to where you had. I don't know if they necessarily had series, but it divided.
Dividing the league into chunks, basically, and being
right
like,
because it's not so much for the Eastern Conference teams because they don't have this problem, but like when you're Vancouver or you're Anaheim or whatever, you're constantly going back and forth. And I think this particularly came up in the playoffs because like the Blackhawks, because they were so good for so long, and they would play, and the Kings were good at the same time, right? So like the Blackhawks would in an entire playoff run, they might go Vancouver, San Jose, LA. And it's like you're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Well, it's particularly bad for the West, as Zach said, because the league is so East-heavy that right. as a consequence, you have teams that, you know, might make sense in the East that have to be in the West. So, you know, the East is all kind of clustered along the East Coast and the Northeast Corridor, but then you get out West and you have to – you know, you have to cover a lot of ground for a lot
of
teams.
It's not a problem if you're – like if you're the Boston Bruins and your playoff series are against Montreal and New York and Philly. It's like, you know, that's – the amount of mileage that they would rack up is like half the mileage that a Western Conference team might get in their first series alone. So it's – I think this isn't a bad thing to kind of do these chunks. And – there's some interesting quirks. Like the thing that I'm actually looking forward to during the season is towards the end of it, they scheduled it where the Ducks and Kings are playing five consecutive games against each other at the end, like towards the end of the season.
Five straight?
Yeah, like a small playoff series.
Wow.
Which is like,
to answer Chaos Blast, I'd watch the hell out of Calgary, Montreal. That'd be
fun. You better believe it, man. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a beautiful looking series too.
Yeah.
I feel like that's another point in favor of this type of scheduling is that you have these, I don't know, say mini playoffs, but you can cultivate, a rivalry when you have this kind of schedule to where, you know, it's like, hey, we did a three or four game stretch in whatever San Jose and that stirred up a lot of bad blood or whatever. So if it turns out to be a crucial series again down the line or in the playoffs, and it's like you have a little bit of a nice backstory there instead of just like a random one-off game where everyone's tired. And
it would be a bit different because when you have to include the Eastern Conference in, because usually it's, you know, one here and one there, but maybe you just change it and say like, okay, well, this year the Ducks are going to do two games in Philly, but next year Philly's going to do two games in Anaheim, kind of flip-flop that stuff back and forth. And it'll be easier next year when we get Seattle in to kind of even everything out in terms of numbers.
That's true, yeah. So, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Before we tie things up, I wanted to ask you guys real quick. Colorado Avalanche, they debut their blue helmet.
Yes.
I don't like them.
You don't like them.
No, I miss the black.
But I'm with Mike. I miss the black too.
I miss the look that looks like they had to like hurriedly raid the pro shop. Yeah.
As we said in the text, I was kind of with you guys. The pants definitely work, but when I was watching the game, the helmet looked off. But then I saw some like still photos yesterday, and the helmet looked great in the still photos.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was just like the angle of the game and like the lighting in the arena or something. I think it like overall it like, and it, I was even talking about this with my girlfriend. Like in theory, this should look 1,000 times better than the black, nonsense. But yet, the black, like, it was the Avalanche to a certain point.
Well, we got you.
And so, aesthetically, it makes sense. It's the blue helmet in particular that throws me off. The blue pants look good. But the blue helmet isn't quite right. A maroon helmet also wouldn't be quite right. And definitely not a silver helmet. So I don't know what you do besides like make them just not wear the helmets anymore.
I think that had they come out with this look right out of the gate, or if they had looked like had some terrible uniform and they switched to these, we'd all be thrilled with them. But we got so used to the way they looked that even though this is aesthetically better, it just looks weird because we're not used to it. Because they didn't really significantly change anything as far as like the logo and the jersey and all that. They just changed the pants and the helmet, and we're going, wait a minute, this doesn't look right.
Is one of you like burning kindling in the background?
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that now.
I hear like a crackling. It sounds like a crackling fireplace.
the whole, I don't know, like, again, I guess I'm with Greg. It looks completely fine, but I miss the way that it used to look.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, we're gonna have to get used to this because this is what they're gonna do now. But if I had to pick, I'd say, oh, this looks good. Make it an alternate, but go back to the black. That's what I would tell them. I would. I would be the first to admit that's solely because it's what I'm used to. It's not because it looks better. It's because what I'm used to.
If I'm looking at two still photos, one of the same uniform with the black helmet, gloves, and pants, and the blue. The helmet, I could see them going back to black because of whatever, but like it's a complete uniform now. I can look past the goofy ass gas station cup logo and reasonably satisfied with their entire look now.
I don't understand the slander towards this logo. It is fine.
It's terrible. Not. It looks absolutely awful.
It's an A, and a puck.
It is a toothpaste gas station drink logo that should not be on an NHL uniform.
I have bought that drink so many times over the course of.
By the way,
I want you to find me that drink logo because it does not exist. Like toothpaste, I get it, but like you keep saying, it looks like a gas station.
It does look like. Okay.
There is no logo that exists that looks like that.
Okay.
There actually is one, and Buck and I on the boards actually pointed it out in one of the threads one time when people were saying,
Okay. I just want to point out, unrelated to all of this, that I just popped over to the NHL's website, and you go down to the team tab, and it listed them by division. And the divisions are listed with their sponsorship logos, so I just wanted to register my disgust.
It's funny. The only place I've seen this is on NHL Network when they do like, here's a look at the standings or the new division. That's the only place that I've seen it, and I'm sure it's in writing. The only place you're going to see it in writing is on the NHL site when like the you know, whoever's writing up the recaps has to write. It was a big clash in the Honda NHL West Division last night. The Mass Mutual East Division.
Sorry, I'm distracted looking for like a soda cup design.
I'm trying to think of the one that it's obviously it's not exactly the same, Zach. But you can see it. You go, well, now I see why you think it looks like that.
Well, like, okay, when you say toothpaste, it's like, all right, yeah, fine, I get it. But, like, how else are you going to make snow coming down a mountain look like it? If you're going to draw it, it's going to end up looking
suggest the Colorado Rockies alternates, which were superior.
Don't suck. Don't suck. Mm. I hate that logo. I could take the Colorado State flag and make it a triangle, too. Like, good job.
Any logo that I...
I don't know what you just said, Greg. Your internet cut out for a solid 4 seconds while you made whatever point you did.
It wasn't much. Don't worry about it. Wait, who's this? I love the logo. Who are we talking about?
The Colorado.
Oh, Avalanche. Jeremy is saying that he loves the Avalanche logo.
Yeah, it's
fine if you're into soda cups. Sure, that's good. Yeah.
If it was really that egregious, they would have changed it in the past.
It's not egregious. It just reminds me of a gas station. That's all. I'm not saying it's a horrible thing. It's just not, you know.
It's dated.
Look, we all know that they made a mistake by not going with the Rocky Mountain Extreme.
Well, of course.
the Yeti foot and everything is way cooler. Like, and that's like a shoulder patch logo, and they've like basically abandoned that.
Oh yeah, that's not in the set anymore. I wish that was still in.
They took the foot off of there?
Yeah, yes. They replaced it with Mike's beloved Colorado Sea.
Yeah, all right, because it looks nice. All right.
Oh yeah, that foot. I don't know what the
foot
point.
Better. We
make,
agree.
I liked it. Yeah.
It was always good when the Avs were in their peak and they had Adam Foot and he had a foot on his jersey.
Made sense. That was shit. Isn't your mascot still a Yeti? Do they still have
the? No, now it's a Saint Bernard with a little like the rescue dogs in the mountains with the little the barrels around the necks.
Does it have a barrel full of bourbon or something it takes around the stadium?
It better. Sure. It better.
It does have a little barrel. I would assume it's filled with Pedialyte or something.
Yeah, no. If they had any guts, it would be full of bourbon, and you know he fills up the cups of angry, burnt-out dads.
He's probably got like a barrel full of coronavirus vaccine that he'll take around. And
it won't get to the right people if that's
God
anywhere else.
Agree to disagree then on the Avalanche uniform. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say to finish this on like an actual hockey note, the divisions that they have set up, there's like I understand why we're not even like having an in-depth discussion about it, because I think all the playoff teams are pretty clear cut, except for maybe in the East where there's just a lot of them. But like, I can tell you who's going to make the playoffs in three out of these four divisions.
It's not already?
Probably. I mean, like in the West, it's like, because the top four in each division make it, right? So in the West, the Ducks, you can cross off the Ducks, Sharks, Kings, Coyotes maybe. And then it's like, okay, well, Avalanche, Blues, who's the other? Oh, no, the Avalanche, Vegas, Blues, and who cares who gets the fourth spot? Maybe it's Minnesota. In the Central, you have Tampa and Columbus and Dallas, and then maybe then throw Carolina in there, and then the rest of them suck. In the North, if the Leafs don't win the North Division, they should just, go home.
Fuck you. Okay.
No, but like, it's like, okay, if you can't beat out Winnipeg and Ottawa and, like, it's Toronto, it's Vancouver, and then maybe it's Edmonton and Montreal, and there's your...
Toronto. Calgary. Toronto's 2-1 so far in the season, so, you know. They're doing fine.
Then the East, it's a little bit more difficult because there's a lot of good teams, but Capitals, Bruins,
Capitals brought to you by Capital One.
Yes, exactly.
One of the things that I've heard brought up is going back to what Zach had said earlier, that maybe this setup could be retained going forward full time. The problem with that is that if you look at these divisions, the North has one less team than everyone else, because everyone else, they're 8-team divisions. The Canadian division, the North, only has 7. So
put Seattle in there. They're close enough.
Well, Seattle's going to come in, which means that, you're probably looking at the West being bumped up to, 9. So you'd have to move someone into the North. And this, I don't know. This just proves that they should have put a team in Quebec City. All right, that's what I'm getting at.
Well,
Chaos Blast, I agree, but they have Connor McDavid. They'll get into the top four. Here's the problem that we have with trying to keep these divisions intact. The Canadian division wouldn't last because of exactly what we're talking about before when we're talking about cutting down travel miles. You think it's fun now? Just wait until a full season when Toronto has gone back and forth to Vancouver like 8 times.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like that, Canada gets its own division for the sake of travel because of the COVID restrictions at the border.
Right.
And so that travel is acceptable and bearable. But when there's no need to have Toronto to have to go back to play Vancouver in head to head, like switching home sites, that's not going to fly.
Yeah. So, like, the divisions won't stay, but I think this, like, two games at a time, back-to-back, I think it's something that'd be fun to keep around.
Like, kind of like a baseball series kind of thing, except smaller?
Sort of, that's not a bad idea, really.
Hockey,
the whole point is, like, you're trying to get these teams to hate each other by the end of it, right? That's what makes a good playoff series, because, you keep killing each other back and forth. Well, what happens if, like, something terrible happens the night before? And then the next night you say, we're going to go kick this dude's ass. That's fun, right? Yeah,
I think so.
Or what happened to Colorado in St. Louis. It's like St. Louis beat them up in their home opener. Colorado thought they were going to have this big start. So then they come back the next night and say, we're going to shut you out 8-0.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened. That's kind of what happened for the Leafs. Second game of the season, they go to Ottawa. They're heavily favored. Ottawa shocks them. They win. Toronto comes back to play Ottawa the next night and, beats them. So that is, as a fan, I have to admit that was nice to see. But
yeah. Or like the Ducks in Vegas. First game, the Ducks played hard and then Vegas pulled away. So then second game, the Ducks know, we know exactly what we need to fix from last night. So they play a little bit harder, a little bit better defensively, and they almost win it until they, crap the bed with – they played a really good 59 minutes. and then they played a really bad 70 seconds. It was not enough fun, but you know, I think it gives a lot of cool like wrinkles to a season that otherwise sometimes can be a real slog. You know, when you get to like the middle of an NHL season, when it's like,
I mean, obviously it doesn't, you know, obviously this season doesn't really apply because the season's been weird in terms of timing, but we've all talked about like the middle of November games, right? Yeah. Where it's just like, which to me, ironically, some of my fondest memories watching hockey, you know, going over to a friend's place, you know, with snow dunes everywhere in the middle of December. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to watch the Leafs play, I don't know, the Panthers on a Tuesday night. All right, fine, whatever.
Well, that's not a bad Tuesday night, but
a bad Tuesday night, but you know, you're not looking forward to that game. It's just something that happens.
one more jersey thing before we can close up here. I just switched back on the TV because the Ducks are going to start here in a minute, and I was still on NBCSN. Buffalo is playing Philly. Buffalo's decision to go back to that pure royal blue. Oh, God.
Buffalo looks amazing.
These look incredible.
They look finished. Like they should have stopped.
And the subtle but you know necessary updates to the primary logo look so good. Like Buffalo and Calgary won the off-season redesign easily.
Yeah.
Agreed. I agree. So
it's kind of a shame that we won't have like a Sabres Flames game during the season this year because that
Stanley Cup Finals maybe no probably not. No. But I will say the only thing I miss about the Sabres is like. I miss the redundant primary logo on the shoulders. Go back to that. Come on, guys. It was goofy and stupid, but it was also fun.
This royal blue is gorgeous. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well done.
All right. Is that it?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, we'll close it out, and hopefully come Monday, everything will still be fine.
Society next week.
We won't be in 50 separate countries.
Yeah, we won't open a bunker next week.
Oh, God. Yeah, no. Can we just get to Thursday without everything falling into chaos?
The last two Wednesdays have been something. So.
I would love that. I just don't think I'm very confident happening. You never know.
Dystopia show next week. We can all look forward to that.
Basically what?
Basically a dystopia show.
Bad. So anyway, folks, we'll see you next week. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and wherever fine podcasting is sold. Keep your heads down out there and don't get into the fray if you can avoid it. We'll see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Been a Filmways presentation, darling.